Chapter 8, Basic Principles. 8.0, Ethical Criteria and Their Justification. It is important to find general criteria that we can appeal to not only to resolve conflict situations, but also to orient the overall project of our lives. The principles may seem almost self-evident, and yet they are extraordinarily important because of their practical consequences and the conclusions that can be drawn from them. We understand principle to mean a fundamental statement from which consequences or conclusions are derived. They are not something added on to people, like a simple qualifier. Rather, they flow as attributes from their reality itself and are grounded in their nature. Principles are characterized by the objective to present some basic principles for orienting human action that can serve as criteria for ethical judgments. Are there criteria by which people can direct their actions? 8.1, the humanization principle. What we call humanization is the dynamism that moves people to grow in consciousness, freedom, responsibility, and social awareness, and to fulfill and promote human values. The humanization principle can be articulated as follows. All people are called to become more and more human. This principle leads more to a project of growth than to a set of norms. In legal terms, we can say that it is the right and the obligation that people have to develop in all their aspects in pursuit of a goal, to be fully what they are. This principle thus gives rise to duties, not as impositions from outside of people, but as demands of their reality, of the values that lead them to fulfillment, and of their dignity as human person. This principle speaks of people who are open to all values and places them on a limitless horizon. It justifies and draws in all of the human rights, inasmuch as people have the right and the obligation to develop in all areas. The humanization principle has to do with the content of what has also been referred to as natural law. We speak of principle and not of law, because it is not about an explicit command handed down by a legislator, even though its origin is God. We qualify the principle with the word humanization in order to highlight the total and dynamic nature of people in contrast to physical laws, binding reality, the source of obligation, of duty, or the strongest and clearest natural law for people is the human person herself, meaning the humanization principle is an expression of the reality of the human person. Opponents of this principle are those who refuse to grow or who keep others from growing, especially when the issue is what makes people more human. In order to understand people in human terms, we should not regard them as a physics, chemistry, or biology problem, not even in social, economic, or political terms. Rather, we should focus on the root of these manifestations, on their call, dynamism, to be more, qualitatively speaking, of what they are. Opponents of this principle are those who do not do the right thing, or who assume that they are not changed by their actions. 8.2. Autonomy principle. Each adult person has the non-renounceable right to determine and conduct his life by himself, and may not be deprived of the chance to live a full and self-determined life. By acting, they find themselves in a particular unique situation that will never be repeated, which necessarily has an impact on their action, although it does not necessarily determine it. It is true that in family life and at the workplace, we can find people being used as instruments, which is tolerable only if their responsibility is not impaired and the fulfillment of their human vocation is respected. People's first obligation is to act according to their nature. This principle is the basis of human rights. A misunderstanding of this principle is the idea that the situation does not influence the subject's actions or that it is the only determining element. 8.3 Equality principle. All human beings are equal. They have the same rights and obligations, and they form a whole which we could call the human family. The axiom, do to no one what you would not want done to you, expresses strict reciprocity in human relations. It demands a way of thinking and of living. It is clear that the equality we are referring to is the equality of nature and of everything that comes from that. The equality principle is opposed to any kind of discrimination based on race, religion, ethnic origin, or sexual difference. 8.4 Difference principle. The difference principle does not contradict, but rather aligns with and complements the equality principle. Equality corresponds to the nature, the preeminence, the vocation and destiny, the rights and obligations of all people. The difference principle corresponds to the particular. We can state it as follows. All people are different on account of their individuality, i.e. their origin, their history, education and culture, and the concrete manifestation of their nature. Differences are grounded in the nature of human beings and thus fall under the heading of human rights. They demand that others have a tolerant attitude. For this reason, It is not ethical to impose the same thing on everyone, just as it is not ethical to shirk fundamental obligations with an appeal to differences. This principle demands attention and respect for differences in interpersonal, social, political, religious, cultural relations, etc. A misunderstanding of the difference principle is that it implies that there are no common obligations or relations among people, or that one can act as if all people were independent and sovereign. And it is wrong to show intolerance to different customs, cultures, and political, social, economic, and religious practices. 8.5 Complexity Principle. While it is true that we can know reality objectively, our perception is incomplete because it does not encompass all of the many aspects of reality. And even with those aspects that we do manage to perceive, our perception is approximate at best. Then, added to the objective difficulties of knowing reality, we have difficulties that stem from the knowing subject. Our apprehension of things is possible not only because reality is intelligible in itself, but also because of the great store of knowledge that we already have, plus the frameworks for understanding that we have internalized, the methods for approaching reality that have been developed in different disciplines, and the models of interpretation that we have at our disposal. We must also consider the prejudices and ideologies that we have subscribed to over the years. The complexity principle can be stated as follows. Reality is complex, and people must act according to what they manage to learn about it. The need to bear in mind that reality in its entirety is imposed by reality itself. We call this demand the complexity principle. This is an analytical principle with an ethical dimension. It turns its critical gaze on practice and insists on discernment. We speak of complexity in recognition of the nature of people, of situations, and of reality. This principle underscores the possibility that all human beings have of making a mistake, as well as the need to undertake an ongoing quest for truth, goodness, justice, love, peace, and unity. The principle is important for ethics because the normative character of ethics is derived from a knowledge of reality. Ethical demands are the demands of reality, and they must be evaluated and assessed from an objective standpoint, even as they are at the same time an inner call to each person. Thus, for example, if someone happens upon a person who is gravely injured, the reality of the situation is an ethical demand to lend help. And since concrete reality has its own complexity, and there is also the complexity of the person people involved, ethical principles are not the last word. They do not automatically override all the other factors that are in play. These other factors are practically unpredictable, and yet we cannot simply write them off. In fact, it would be unethical to disregard them. Thus, for example, if the gravely injured person might suffer even greater harm or run a greater risk by receiving inexpert care, then the obligation to lend help no longer applies to those lacking appropriate training. We believe that the truth can be known, albeit with limitations and approximately, and it is precisely in recognition of reality and our way of knowing it that the complexity principle becomes a compelling precept. Reality is more complex than we tend to think at first, and discovering the good to be done is much harder than just applying certain principles mechanically. Reality is like a system of forces made up of vectors having different values and directions. Being a dynamic system, it cannot be resolved by simply imposing the direction of one of the vectors. The direction and force of all the vectors in play must go into the solution. In spite of the complexity of the system, vectors always form a unit that, in the case of ethics, is determined by reality and the situation of the subject in question. If the demand is separated from the person, it loses its obligatory character. The complexity principle does not deny or undermine the fundamental criteria that are needed to resolve the most complex cases. It is not a pretext for justifying any and all behavior, or for thinking that no definitive solutions can be given. Rather, it serves as a way to focus attention on the concrete situation at hand. It would be a mistake to construe this principle as meaning that in view of the complexity of things, there are no values, standards, or laws that must be known and applied. 8.6 Totality Principle. The unity and totality of the human person gives rise to a principle that is of capital importance for ethics. Each person is responsible not just for each part of her person, but primarily for her entire personal being. Thus, she can make use of the parts to benefit the whole. What we call the totality principle is the overriding nature of the whole over the part, which we could express as follows. When a whole-to-part relationship can be verified, and in the exact degree to which such a relationship is verified, the part is subordinated to the whole, and the whole determines the part, and may make use of it in the interest of the whole. In the case of the good of the human person, for which this principle can most appropriately be applied, The whole transcends any of its parts and is worth more than the sum of all of them. This principle is grounded in the unity of the acting subject, for whom his identity and existence are overriding values. The elements are not simply mixed, but organized in connections that have a structure and a function. People are beings that must pay heed to their entire reality, because they are a total reality. Their natural obligation is to safeguard their personal being, their life, their freedom, their consciousness, even if they have to lose members, organs, functions, or abilities. It is helpful to distinguish among three important concepts in this principle. A. The whole is constituted in relation to the parts, which are elements of a unit that is organic, psychic, moral, individual, social, etc. B. The parts can be integral when they are not themselves the whole, but rather make it up in such a way that if one of these parts is removed, the integrity of the whole is damaged but not destroyed. Outside of the whole, the part has no meaning or purpose. C. The part can also be constituent, essential, or vital, meaning that when one of them is removed, the whole is not only damaged but also destroyed. These parts are engaged in the whole, and their existence and function are justified by the purpose of the whole. D. In the case of a moral whole, the parts will also be moral and as such will never form a physical, organic whole. Likewise, the integral parts of an organic being will not constitute a moral but a physical whole, such as the parts of a human being. E. Predomination is the subordination of the parts to the whole and the ability of the whole to make use of the parts. The state has the right to limit a people's freedom for a just cause, but not to make use of their life. People are the main referent, princeps, and allegatum of the totality principle. Bearing in mind the analogical nature of the totality principle, we must determine in each particular case the relationship between the whole and the parts, and the type of predomination or authority. The totality principle is applied to a moral whole, such as a family, a society, the state, a team, or a company, only in an analogous, similar way. In these cases, it is important not to overextend the type of unit and the relationship with the whole, and thereby sacrifice the parts. A part can form a whole, but not in all aspects. The person, her existence, may not be sacrificed for the good of the state or the family. The totality principle can be especially useful for shedding light on the problem of responsible parenthood. The application of the principle assumes a hierarchy of values grounded in nature, in reality, which means it is not arbitrary. Just as it is important to consider all of reality, due to the complexity principle, it is also important to consider the entire person, due to the totality principle. This principle takes in the whole being, including history and personal experiences. Those who let themselves be dominated by a part of their lives without overcoming or integrating it are opposed to the totality of their being and of their life, which surpasses any of its stages. Moral rights and conditions are limited by the rights of the people that make up the moral entity. With respect to the conditions that institutions can set for affiliation, membership, or employment, they should not go beyond those needed for the institution's purposes. If a person has authority or predominance within an institution, thus lending a service, he does not on that account have the right to set any kind of conditions, only those called for by the institution's nature and purpose. It is a misunderstanding of this principle to disregard the nature of the whole, for example, to ignore the fact that people are not a part of society, or the state, or the church, and that these institutions do not have the authority to go against people's fundamental rights. 8.7 Solidarity Principle. The solidarity principle arises from the social nature of human beings. This condition of people who are born, live, grow up, and develop in society also gives them a sense of purpose. People are immediately inclined toward service for others. In the practical realm, this service takes the shape of a profession, the search for the common good and care for the needy. The solidarity principle can be stated as follows. People are expected to contribute to the common good in accordance with their possibilities, depending on the different levels of common good, and they have the right to receive from others everything they need to live and develop if they, for good reason, cannot cover their need. For example, by giving jobs only to children or young people. Being in charge does not justify setting any and all conditions. We are all responsible for each other, and I more than others. Dostoevsky. The purpose of wisdom is to make us useful to the Republic. That is the clearest measure of virtue and the first duty in life. Cicero, Republic 1-2. Specific abuses do not cancel the obligation to contribute to the common good, such as that of paying taxes. Human beings are those that serve others, not instinctively, but out of solidarity. The sense of others is what compels the philosopher to philosophize, the writer to write, the teacher to teach, the inventor to invent. This right goes with an obligation that, as the case may be, corresponds to parents, the family, intermediate associations, and finally, the state. The solidarity principle aims mainly at the common good and the obligation to contribute to it. It is a duty of justice that each person must comply with according to her own capacity and in recognition of the needs of others, by promoting and helping institutions both public and private. Contributions to the common good have different characteristics that should be borne in mind. A. People's real capacity to contribute with their work, research, care for nature and the environment, observance of civil norms, economic contribution in the form of taxes, etc. B. The more fundamental other people's needs are, the greater the obligation is to see to those needs and to improve those people's living conditions. Solidarity is linked to the values of justice, freedom, equality, participation, etc. It expresses the ethical condition of human life in common, and its supreme action is sharing and taking part. All people have the right to human values like truth, freedom, development, justice, peace, etc. It is an abuse of the solidarity principle to hide behind it as a way to shirk one's personal responsibilities or to misuse common goods and services with the argument that it does no harm to anyone. This principle goes against the individualistic vision of human beings, the economy, and society. 8.8. Enablement principle. The enablement principle arises from people's right to grow and develop their abilities, and it calls on those with greater ability, authority, experience, and knowledge to avoid taking care of the work, decisions, functions, and obligations that subordinates can handle, because that would hinder their growth. This principle implies the obligation to see to others' development and to leave in their hands everything that they can do for themselves. It is of the utmost importance that people be active agents in their own development, because otherwise they can be treated as objects within a development plan, which would take away from their dignity, their freedom, and their responsibility. In the social and political realm, the enablement principle means that neither the state nor society should supplant the initiative and responsibility of individuals or of intermediate social groups at those levels at which these people can act. Nor should the state or society eliminate or cancel the opportunities needed for the full development of all people who make up the society. This principle implies that people should be supported and respected in all of their rights by the state or any other social grouping. It indicates that the state should not take on any more responsibilities than those that are required for the common good and that are beyond the possibilities of individuals or groups. Any sort of condescending or suffocating paternalism is to be avoided. The guideline is that any type of society should be at the service of people and not people enslaved by society. It is easy to see that this principle will never be embraced by any totalitarian society or state. Some cultures still believe that it is the role of the aristocracy or the authority to know, think, decide, and command, and that everyone else must simply obey. This principle lays the foundation for democracy and opposes the autocratic exercise of authority. This principle is violated when the authority thinks, decides, and acts on behalf of subordinates in such a way that the subordinates end up accepting and even preferring that others make the decisions and assume the responsibilities that are really up to them. Christian reflection. The glory of God consists in the complete well-being of living, concrete man. St. Irenaeus, a hare 4:19. The humanization principle, or natural law, is the expression of God's will. By accepting it consciously and freely, we accept human reality and God. In the gospel, we can find passages that have to do with these principles. What will a man gain if he wins the whole world and ruins his life? Mark 16:36. The Sabbath and the law were made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2:27, Mark 12:1-8. And if your right hand should cause you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it will do you less harm to lose one part, etc. This text should not be taken literally, but in the sense of subordinating secondary values to the main value. Loving and serving others is the most sublime and authentic way to love and serve God. Mark 5:30. For reflection on the humanization principle. By virtue of natural reason, moral, natural law is a properly human law. John Paul II, V.S. 40. Natural law is nothing but the light of intelligence instilled in us by God. Through it we know what should be done and what should be avoided, God has bestowed this light and this law on creation. St. Thomas Aquinas, Essex 2, Q 93 A3 Ad 2 Dum. On the complexity principle, what must be done in any given situation depends on the circumstances, not all of which can be foreseen. On the other hand, there are kinds of behavior which can never, in any situation, be a proper response, a response which is in conformity with the dignity of the person. John Paul II, V.S. 52. Life is governed by a multitude of forces. It would be smooth sailing if one could determine the course of one's actions only by one general principle, whose application at any given moment was too obvious to need even a moment's reflection. But I cannot recall a single act which could be so easily determined. Mahatma Gandhi, El Derecho de Ser Hombre, UNESCO, Sigami, Salamanca, 1973. Complexity can be apprehended by anyone who reads history without a preconceived ideological framework, who allows his prejudices to be challenged and confronted, who takes up the burden of not having ready-made diagnoses and predetermined therapies. Complexity keeps us from giving our conscience false assurances. It keeps us from pursuing simplistic utopias and rosy memories. Bruno Forte, quoted by J. Salmon, Etica y Progreso, Ed Azteca, Mexico City, 1968. On the solidarity principle, justice is not the only virtue that imposes order on social life. When justice alone reigns, inhuman deformations result, selfishness thrives, and justice itself becomes a precarious thing. This virtue must be complemented by the practice of other virtues, especially solidarity, understanding, affability, selfless love, etc. Solidarity goes beyond justice because it leads to a discovery of the demands of justice, but it does not limit itself to respecting the rights of others and giving each his due. Rather, it moves people to lend a generous hand, to give of what is theirs. Moreover, love of neighbor can reconfigure the contentiousness that often characterizes justice and temper its claims. Love tends to unite, to appreciate the interests of others. It is more flexible than justice. It reaches agreement more easily because it leads to forgiveness and mercy and understanding which the state is incapable of fostering. Solidarity is posited on justice. He who loves his neighbor begins by respecting his rights. Ángel Rodríguez Luño, Ética y Unsa, Pamplona, 1984, p. 230. Activities list 5 different criteria regarding the content of ethics. You may mention criteria proposed by certain philosophers, or criteria that people tend to consider compulsory in our culture. Compare them with the principles that we have proposed and analyze them from a rational standpoint in terms of their usefulness for your everyday decisions. Which criteria do you think shed more light on your actions? Explain. Analyze an important decision you have made. Reconstruct the situation and write down the criteria you used to decide. Then check and see if by applying the principles set forth in this chapter, you could have made a better, more satisfactory decision. Write a paragraph about what you think makes people more human in the professional sphere, in social relations, within a romantic relationship, in the family, etc. Express in your own words what each of these principles means in the context of concrete situations. Think of a conflictive ethical situation. What do you think would be the solution in light of the principle that you think would be applicable? Then apply the complexity principle and the rest of the principles set forth in this chapter and compare the results of your analysis with the solution that you came up with first. Analyze these cases applying the totality principle. Is it right to remove healthy fallopian tubes, knowing that another pregnancy could be highly dangerous to the mother who has a heart condition? Is it permissible to operate on healthy fallopian tubes? Is it justified to prevent carriers of hereditary diseases or incurable illnesses like AIDS from getting married? Is it correct to surgically sterilize them? What is missing in this summary to make it complete? There are general criteria or principles that orient human life. The humanization principle, which consists of the dynamism that moves people to grow in consciousness, freedom, responsibility, social awareness, and to put human values into practice and to promote them. The autonomy principle, which states that all people, adults, have the irrevocable right to determine and conduct their own life. The equality principle, which states that all human beings are equal, that they have the same rights and obligations, and form an entity that we could call the human family. The complexity principle, which obliges us to bear in mind all the aspects, conflicts, values, and anti-values of a situation when we assess it and judge it ethically. The totality principle, by which, in a verified whole-to-part relationship, the part is subordinated to the whole, and the whole determines the part, meaning it can make use of the part in pursuit of its own interest. The solidarity principle. Each person is expected to contribute to the good of society in line with her possibilities and in accordance with the different levels of the common good. The enablement principle, which calls for the development of the person and leaving in his hands whatever he can do for himself. True or false? People have no more responsibility in life than to live the life they have been given. True, false. Becoming more and more human is a task that our culture imposes on us. True. In fact, not all people are equal. There are differences. True, false. Non-intervention is grounded in difference and sovereignty, which corresponds to neither physical nor human reality. True, false. All nature, including human nature, has universal repercussions. Therefore, there must also be universal obligations and laws. True, false. Among all human beings, there are common elements, and yet, all are different. True, false. In the final analysis, nature is the basis of human equality and differences. True, false. Reality is so complex that we should give up on knowing it and settle for managing it. Trills. Of all realities, the most complex is the human person. True, false. Human does not refer to a single concrete value, but to a whole range of values, to the set of all authentic values. And being human consists of coordinating the expressions that bring about fulfillment. True, false. People's complexity makes ethics impossible and impractical. True, false. Since people do not have control over their life, they do not have control over themselves and their abilities either. True, false. Each person is responsible for himself and no one else. True, false. Authorities have the right to think and decide for their subordinates. True, false. Authorities do not have the right to impose a way of thinking. True, false. Authorities have the right to forbid dissent among their subordinates. True, false. Bibliography. Gómez Robledo Antonio, Solicitas por la Justicia FC, Mexico City, 52. In this book, the author presents different approaches to the concept of justice, from classical to modern authors, useful for an in-depth look at the topic. Hervada, Javier, Introducción al Derecho Natural, Editora de Revistas, Mexico City, Means of Think. Clear and systematic presentation of the concept of natural law from the Thomist perspective. Messner Johannes Ética Social, Herder Barcelonovkiv. This solid, systematic work makes a wide-ranging presentation and includes applications to different spheres of social life. Rodríguez Luño, Ángel, Pamplona, 1984. This book has a marked Aristotelian Thomist orientation and presents some of the classic issues clearly, rather uncritical. Tischner Josef Ética de la Solidaridad, El Encuentro, Madrid, 2003. This book is written in the form of a dictionary of key words that inspired the solidarity movement in Poland. The clarity and brevity of the issues discussed offer a good orientation. Tugendhat, Ernest, El Liberalismo como Problema, en Montilla, Venezuela, en 92. This book contains a collection of essays on ethical issues posed by some of the leading tendencies in modern liberalism. The analysis is rigorous and critical. Diccionario Enciclopedico de Teologia Moral, directed by Leonardo Rossi and Ambrogio Valsecchi, Editions Paulinas, Madrid, 1974. Varga Andrew C., Jose Hombres Pablo, San Pablo, Santa Fe, 92. This book is a brief introduction to ethics for students and general readers. Systematically and in accessible language, it presents the main issues of ethics. The author pays special attention to the concept of natural law. Questions: What is an ethical principle? It is a fundamental statement from which a series of conclusions can be drawn for application to real-life situations. They are consequences of the reality of human beings. What do we call the humanization principle? It is the dynamism that moves people to grow in consciousness, freedom, solidarity, social awareness, and to fulfill and promote human values. What does adulthood consist of? The right and the obligation to think for oneself, decide for oneself, and act for oneself. Without this possibility, there would be no responsibility. What does the autonomy principle consist of? The irrevocable right to determine and conduct one's own life. Where does the complexity principle come from? It comes from the need to bear in mind reality in its entirety. State the totality principle. When a whole-to-part relationship is verified, and to the exact degree to which it is verified, the part is subordinated to the whole, and the whole determines the part, and may make use of the part in pursuit of its own interests. What sense of purpose does the solidarity principle give human life? It shows that people are immediately oriented towards service to others, which in practical terms is manifested in the professional field, in the quest for the common good, and in caring for the needy. What obligation does the enablement principle entail? The obligation to pay attention to people and to leave in their hands everything they can do for themselves. In the social and political realm, it implies that society should not supplant the initiative and responsibility of individuals and intermediate social groups at the levels at which they can function. What principle is violated when people treat others as objects or allow themselves to be used as instruments? The humanization principle. Does the equality principle deny the real differences that in fact exist among people and the right to be different? No, because it neither denies nor ignores personal differences, but rather affirms that in spite of them, we are all equal by nature, with the same preeminence, rights, and obligations.